we're going to need to provide flood protection. And so I think that the concept of both new construction and rehabilitation of the existing system are important.
Well, Senator Steinberg, you're absolutely right. Of course, they're important, and the imperative here is as important as housing our school children was back in 1997-98, right. And that is public safety, a supreme responsibility of state government. As difficult, I would say, though, as sort of coming up with an equitable means of financing both construction of schools and the rehabilitation or modernization of schools was back then, I think this is going to be more difficult because of the sort of the nature of the risk and the level of uncertainty about where the problems exist along the levees. So I think it, like you said, the devil's in the details in this, but we've got to start at some point. And we offer up to you our experience in solving these problems, as I said, in Contra Costa County, down in San Joaquin County, up in Yuba County. We've done it. We have some ideas about how it could be financed for sure. And since we've had this experience with the school program, which I might add, seems to be a successful concept because in 1998, when Prop 1A had $9.2 billion was passed, that was the first of five school bonds that have been passed since that time, for a total of $45 billion in endorsing this concept. I think we have the same opportunity here. I think because we've heard a lot today about the need to go back to the voters and finish this problem, our argument would be the same today as it was back then. Show them, the voters, a good program, a cost-effective program, an equitable program, and they'll say yes the next time we have to ask.
Right. You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel either here. You know, in the transportation world currently, there is a lot of talk and beginnings of work around so-called public-private partnerships. I met yesterday with Mike Keston, the Keston Institute, right, at the University of Southern California. There's a lot of thought and work being done about how to use public funding as the leverage, as the catalyst, as the down payment, if you will, for systemic fixes. And obviously, the building industry is a big piece of this. And appreciate your coming forward. And
pleasure.
Let this be a start.
And congratulations to you, too.
Thank you. Roberta Golart from Contra Costa County. Roberta, followed by Tom Ellis, Michael Green, John Harris, and Michael Faust. And then we are adjourning at 12:05.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning,
members. My name is Roberta Goulart. I work for Contra Costa County, and I'm here today to just by way of background, let me say Contra Costa County gets most of its water from the Delta, either directly or via infrastructure that goes through the Delta. We're here today to tell you a little bit about a program we're putting together. It's called the Delta Levee Coalition. It's Contra Costa County, the Contra Costa Council, the Bay Planning Coalition, the California Alliance for Jobs, with help from the Delta Protection Commission. And what we're looking to do is to give you a list of projects we think will be important no matter what the final configuration of the Delta will be. Levee projects that are not in the state plan of flood control, but nonetheless would require some of the 1E bond funding, specifically 1E and also 84. And we ask this because where we do see the clear potential for catastrophe in the Central Valley, we also think that the long-term loss of water supply to most of California could itself be so catastrophic. And I'm not sure that everyone is really thinking along those lines when they're seeing the need to fix Delta levees. So we do have a list of projects. I think in the $500 million to $1 billion range, that would include many other projects that aren't within our specific project list, but I know there are other coalitions out there looking for non-project levy funding as well.
Bring them forward as we begin to deliberate on this year's state budget.
Right.
Appropriate.
Right. In addition, I wanted to tell you about another group out there. This is a state and federal consortium of agencies that are being led by the Army Corps of Engineers. It's called the Long-Term Management Strategy, and it mainly deals with beneficial reuse of dredged materials. As you may know, dredged materials have been a great source of material for the Delta in past years, and as you may also know, there's not a lot of material out there with which to deal for Delta levees. It's going to be real hard and real expensive to bring the combination of materials that we need to make a strong levee. And certainly dredged materials are one of those components. The long-term management strategy is currently looking at how to smooth out the permitting process. A lot of the agencies that we're working with here either have conflicting mandates or their permitting aspects do not work smoothly together at all, creating a mess when it comes to permitting. Certainly, we think that's part of the reason why the governor went to emergency declaration to get the levees fixed in a hurry. So I think there's a lot that can be done in terms of smoothing out the permit process. A lot of science that can happen to pre-plan where dredge material goes and how it's used on levees and so on. But that is the LTMS project, and it would be helpful to have your support on that.
I'm going to ask you to wrap up if you can.
Okay. No problem. I think the last thing I'd like to mention is that some of the programs that we have in place currently are not really set up to deal with getting levees fixed in a hurry and getting funding where it needs to be. Delta Levees Subventions Program, for an example. Clearly, things need to change as part of that program for this to happen in an efficient way. Certainly, giving funding outright to folks rather than having them vie for that later down the road, having them come up with the initial entire cost and things like that, and getting their dealing with percentage issues as well in terms of what the local sponsor's share is. So those kinds of programs need to be considered, and I think perhaps legislative action may need to happen over the course of this year to sort of oil that process so that it can work efficiently.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Excellent testimony. Tom Ellis, Michael Green, John Harrison. Mike Faust.
Yes, thank you and good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Tom Ellis, a farmer and landowner in the Clusa Basin. Also, I'm president of the Sacramento River Westside Levee District, and I'm very concerned about the funding priorities for Prop 1E funds. Our bypass system, created when the Sacramento River Flood Control Project was built, is designed to carry excess flows during flood events on the main stem of the Sacramento River. These bypasses are in rural areas to the north, west, and south of the city of Sacramento, and are designed to handle approximately five times the flows in the main channel of the river. While we are very thankful for the flurry of activity and levee repairs on the river, there has been no attention to our bypasses, which are of equal importance. Without these bypass facilities operating properly, public safety is in peril throughout the area from the Sutter Buttes to Rio Vista. These rural facilities desperately need Prop 1E funding for sediment and vegetation removal to maintain our ability to handle major flood events effectively. We are currently attempting to clean accumulated sediment and vegetation from the Tisdale Bypass, 6 miles south of Grimes, which is the relief valve for the Clusa and Sutter Basin. It moves the excess flow from the main stem of the river east to the Sutter Bypass. In early January of 2006, during a 10-year flood event, the bypass, with a design capacity of 38,000 cubic feet per second, was flowing at only 18,000 CFS, actually about 47% of design capacity. Meanwhile, the main stem of the river south through the Knights Landing area was flowing at 33,000 CFS. Design capacity in that section of the river is only 30,000. So it was 10% over design capacity. It was certainly a disaster waiting to happen. Lack of maintenance for many, many years has resulted in sediment and vegetative buildup restricting the capacity of that bypass, putting undue pressure on the river levees. The new Reclamation Board is very involved in getting this facility cleaned, and I applaud their effort. And I understand that Senate Bill 17 is before the Senate this session. It is my hope that you will not change the mission of the Reclamation Board to include ecosystem restoration. There are many organizations and agencies with this mission. We need a dedicated flood control advocate within state government, and that should be the only charge to the Reclamation Board. Also, I ask you not to change the board composition. Of course, they need legal and engineering advice, but I feel those who actually vote on the issues should be from the area of jurisdiction of the board and be at risk of damage from flooding. This would make the board accountable to the people most affected by flooding. And in closing, I'd like to invite anyone that's interested in seeing what I've told you about. We would be more than happy to meet with you and show you our concerns.
Mr. Ellis, thank you very much for taking the time to come testify. We'll incorporate your comments into the record.
Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Green, John Harrison, and Mike Faust.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. My name is Michael Green. I represent the California State Grange. The Grange has about 10,000 members in California, participating through 200 local Granges, active in 45 counties. At its 134th annual meeting last year in Bakersfield, it adopted a resolution calling for recreational uses on the levees. We think this is a wonderful opportunity for the state to really maximize the benefit of these huge amounts of money that are being discussed. If the levees were left after repair in a condition that they could be used for recreational purposes, open to the public. Thank you.
John Harrison.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee staff. Paul Bauer on behalf of SCAG this morning, the Southern California Association of Governments. With me today is John Harrison, the mayor of Redlands, who serves on our Water Policy Task Force. We want to talk a little bit about approach at the regional level and how we can incorporate the water funding, including the levy funding, in the blueprint, and how we can incorporate better planning to achieve results in probably a more cost-efficient manner. So with that, here's John.
Thank you. I'll try to keep my comments brief given the late hour. As a member of the Water Policy Task Force for the Southern California Association of Governments.
I'm sorry, sir. If you want to make the statement itself part of the record, we're happy to take it. Maybe you could, if you don't mind, summarizing.
Yeah, I'm trying to summarize.
That'd be great, Mayor. Thank you.
As was mentioned, we really feel that the approach needs to take a look at how the not only 1E and 84, but all the other five bond measures can be looked at as one program that is a comprehensive way of bringing the five elements together. We believe that in the past, such a process has been in place, and for the past 2 years, metropolitan areas of the state have been using what's called the Regional Blueprint Network to accomplish this goal of integrating the various land use, environmental, transportation, water, and park programs that collectively come together under the kind of activities that the five different bond measures address. The blueprint has called on regions to look at their futures with their growth and infrastructure challenges in an integrated and comprehensive way. We would urge you very much to look at the blueprint framework as the most promising way to extend the value of the bond funding, because one, it's in place and it takes a sort of comprehensive look at the needs of the various stakeholders in a region. It provides an opportunity for coordinated planning strategies, avoided costs, and long-term economic and innovative implementation. Examples of ways that these different bond measures can be looked at together are smart investments in education, can also lead to a cleaner water education on water conservation. Housing developments can introduce open space into communities that also support stormwater infiltration and water reuse issues. We've observed that the most recent round of transportation bond funding, that it's essential to distribute bond funding in a way that's orderly, predictable, and reflects the state's most pressing priorities. And that's where we feel the blueprint process can bring that kind of structure to the program and look at the interrelationships of different programs.
Blueprint process you're talking about?
That's our regional blueprint, such as what SACOG has in this area.
See. Okay.
And how we can tie land use with transportation as well.
Got it. Okay, right.
We think there's a way we can make that a more robust process as it relates to water.
Okay.
Flood storm management. Look forward to working with you on that.
Well, thank you for the consideration. We really think that this is an approach that can extend the buying power of all five bond measures and bring them together.
We are very supportive of regional approaches, and we've got an outstanding model again here in the Sacramento region with its blueprint and your suggestion that water ought to be a part of the element of these blueprints, I think makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Last but not least, Mike Faust. Hey, how are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Good.
Senator, thank you so much for the time. I'll be brief as well.
Yes.
My name is Michael Faust. I'm the Senior Vice President of Public Policy for the Sacramento Metro Chamber. We represent about 2,500 businesses and approximately 190,000 employees in the greater Sacramento region. One of the things we encourage local officials to do is work within regional cooperation. Since our founding in 1895, we've advocated for regional cooperation. And there's no better example of what we believe needs to be done in that terms as it does in terms of infrastructure issues such as flooding. Sacramento Metro Chamber respectfully requests that the appropriate funding levels continue for those projects already authorized and on track for additional work. We're proud to say that SAFCA, DWR, Army Corps of Engineers all work together regarding the budgetary allocations for 07-08. Once again, regional cooperation as well as working with the necessary agencies involved. Sacramento Metro Chamber would encourage, though, as you go through your list and pick your projects, that you include things such as the South Sacramento Streams Group, the Common Features, Sacramento River Bank Protection Project, the bridge component of the Folsom Dam, as well as the raise of the Folsom Dam. And we encourage you to ensure that the threat for underseepage in the Natomas Basin be addressed in your project list. We fully support SAFCA's full request to be included in the budget. I think it's of note that it was noted here today that SAFCA's regional approach is the preeminent approach on how things should be done, as well as the preeminent regional planning agency. We're very proud to say we work with them. It's also important to note that in April, starting in March through April, Sacramento will form an assessment district, which will provide us the local match for the regional.
You're also working with your local building industry association, sort of consistent with what Mr. Coyle's testimony earlier.
Absolutely.
This morning. Okay.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Sure, appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Thank you to the members of the public, members of the committee, staff for excellent preparation. Again, this first of many, because this is an issue that we need to stay on. Every week, every month, till we get the job done. We'll stand in adjournment. Thank you very much.